Today, I want to discuss one of my most favorite pastimes, an event I look forward to literally every single day. It's actually quite a complicated topic when you start looking into it, with many different facets, aspects, and components that drive its success. Some people find this an easy task. Many find it frustrating. And some find it very, very, very difficult. It's an activity that is estimated to take up to one quarter or one third of our entire lives. It's something that you can do alone or you can do with others. It's something that you can do with specific attire or no attire at all. It's something you can do on a business trip, you can do on vacation, or even at your mom's house. Today, I want to talk about the very important topic of, anybody? Eating. No, Mary, not eating. The very important topic of sleep. Sleep. For those of you that know me, I love to sleep. Sam and I will go on cruises, and she'll want to be up till 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'll want to be in bed by 9, and she doesn't want to take naps, and that is absolutely the best thing I ever do in my life, is take a nap at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, right as Mr. Jackson's getting started on a sermon, unfortunately, is where my body clock goes. But today, I want to talk about how the topic of sleep speaks not only to our physical condition, and it certainly does, but also how it speaks to our spiritual condition as well. Pentecost is tomorrow, and we'll celebrate the memorial and the anniversary of the New Testament church and the gift of the Holy Spirit, or the Comforter, that provides us the strength, the knowledge, and guides us to living our lives. The concept of sleep and slumber certainly plays an important role to the condition of us individually and collectively. So why sleep, and what is sleep? In the dictionary, the Oxford Language Dictionary, it says, it's a condition of body and mind that typically recurs for several hours every night, in which the eyes are closed, the postural muscles relaxed, the activity of the brain altered, and consciousness of the surroundings practically suspended. Now, when you're sleeping, then, you know, you may want to have a little brain-altering stuff that stops all the craziness going on in your head. You might want to be practically suspended from real life so that you can get sleep. But is that always a good thing? From a physical perspective, that may be good, but how about from a spiritual perspective? Is having your brain altered and having your consciousness practically suspended something that's a good thing or not? Mr. Jackson opened up the door with ChatGPT a couple of weeks ago. So I went on ChatGPT and I asked the question, why did God create sleep? Why did God create sleep? Here's what ChatGPT said. Number one, for restoration and healing. For restoration and healing. Sleep provides an opportunity for the body to rest, to repair, to rejuvenate. During sleep, various psychological processes occur, such as tissue growth and repair, muscle and bone development, and the strengthening of the immune system. Sleep is crucial for overall physical health and well-being. And certainly for somebody like me that loves to sleep, and somebody that has to sleep 8.5 or 9 hours a night, when I don't get that, I am miserable, I am terrible, I'm not in a good mood, I don't feel good. So I can't understand, I can't even fathom how somebody like my daughter, who has such problems sleeping, functions without it. I remember years ago with Tony Carrero. Tony is at least in years back, I'm sure he probably still is in that situation, just doesn't sleep much. And it boggles my mind how somebody could function without that respite. But I guess you find your ways. Number two, why did God create sleep? Cognitive function. Sleep plays a vital role and cognitive processes, including memory consolidation, learning, problem solving. It helps solidify newly acquired information and enhances creativity and decision-making abilities. Getting sufficient sleep is important for optimal brain function and mental performance. So those of you that know me will ask, well, then what's wrong with you? You're getting plenty of sleep. Number three is energy energy conservation. Sleep serves as a mechanism to conserve energy. While we sleep, our metabolism slows down and our body consumes fewer calories compared to wakefulness. Well, thusly, you can make the assumption that maybe that's why I have a few more pounds on me, because I sleep too much. This energy conservation allows the body to allocate resources to essential functions like growth, repair, and maintaining psychological balance. Number four, hormonal regulation. Sleep influences the regulation of various hormones in the body, including those involved in appetite control, growth and development, stress response, and productive function. A lack of sleep can disrupt the hormonal balance, potentially leading to health issues and imbalances in bodily functions. And number five, psychological well-being. Sleep is closely linked to mental health and emotional well-being. Sufficient sleep promotes emotional regulation, reduces stress levels, and helps maintain a positive mood. Lack of sleep, on the other hand, can contribute to mood swings, irritability, and an increased risk of mental health disorders. I think we can all agree that sleep is a wonderful, healthy, rejuvenating, and necessary activity for human beings, but can also be very dangerous and even harmful at times, because it does leave us unproductive. It does leave us vulnerable. It may feel good, but that doesn't mean it's always good for us. There's an article written on behalf of Dr. Mark Wu, PhD, for the Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, and it was on the science of sleep, understanding what happens when you sleep. Just want to read a couple of items to set the stage for the rest of my message this afternoon. But what happens, Dr. Wu asks, when you sleep? Before the 1950s, most people believed sleep was a passive activity during which the body and brain was dormant. But it turns out that sleep is a period during which the brain is engaged in a number of activities necessary to life, which are closely linked to the quality of life, says Johns Hopkins sleep expert, Dr. Mark Wu. Throughout your time of sleep, your brain cycle repeatedly through two different types of sleep, REM and non-REM sleep. The non-REM sleep has four components. The first component is when you're just starting to fall asleep. I don't know about you, but oftentimes when I'm just starting to fall asleep, I'll say to myself, I wonder if I can remember exactly when I zoned out, exactly when I went to sleep. I can picture myself lying in bed all cozy with the covers and the pillows just where I want them and feeling really good but not asleep yet and knowing that it's just around the corner but don't know how long, but I know it's just around the corner. So the first part of the non-REM sleep is that period between being awake when you just start to drift into sleep. The second component is that light sleep. And sometimes that light sleep, for me, is that when I wake up one time a night, it's around the time when Sam decides to come to bed. So I just get back in bed and here comes Sam. And at 12:30 or 1 o'clock or 11:30 or 11:15, and I had just gone back to sleep and I'm in that light sleep and she wakes me up and we have a conversation for 45 minutes until we both fall back to sleep. But that second stage is that light sleep that you're in. The third step is a heavy sleep. You're out. Your brain starts to shut off. All those things that I said earlier start to happen. And you're in that heavy, heavy duty sleep. And then one more time, that cycles even more to a more heavier sleep that you go through. So this non-REM sleep has these four components that we go through physically as human beings. And then the REM sleep happens, they say, 3 to 4 times during the night when your eyes are batting like crazy but closed. Your brain is racing, and you're probably having one of those crazy, stupid dreams like I had last night, just in preparation for this message. I'm not going to tell you what the dream was about because I don't remember, but I do remember waking up afraid and scared at 62 years old. Go figure. There was a study done by the same doctor at Johns Hopkins, and they identified a gene called the wide awake gene in fruit flies. Now, don't ask me how they identify a gene in a fruit fly. I don't understand that. But anyway, they did. And what they found out when they took this gene out of the fruit fly was the fruit fly had problems falling asleep and staying asleep. So obviously, this is a very integral part. Sleep, the ability to sleep, the need to sleep, is a very integral part of God's creation and certainly a very integral part of how we're made and the genes that are inside of us, the DNA that is inside of us. According to Dr. Wu, there are the two main processes that regulate sleep: circadian rhythms and sleep drives. Now, I hope I'm not getting too technical, so stick with me. Circadian rhythms are controlled by a biological clock located in the brain. One key function of this clock is responding to the light cues, ramping up production of hormone melatonin at night, then switching it off when it senses light. I don't know if you're like me, but if I wear a mask to cover my eyes because at the earliest sign of light in the room or in the day, I start to come alive and then it's all over, no more sleep for me. People with total blindness often have trouble sleeping because they're unable to detect and respond to these light cues. The second component is sleep drive, also plays a key role. Your body craves sleep, much like hunger for food. Throughout the day, your desire for sleep builds, and when it reaches a center point, you need to sleep. So usually about me, my family knows that on Friday night, it's probably 20, 30 minutes earlier. On Friday night, it's 7:20, 7:35, 7:40, and I'm done. I'm done. I go in my room. I've had my air conditioning on in my bed. I've fluffed up my pillows 4 hours later, awaiting this time that I cannot wait for. I've straightened out the sheets on the bed. I've gotten everything ready. I get into bed, and normally, when things aren't too crazy in my life, I'll fall asleep in, I think, 3 to 5 minutes. And I sleep very well. But the sleep drive is an urge that we have that forces our bodies to do what they do. If you've ever felt foggy after a poor night's sleep, it won't surprise you that sleep significantly impacts brain function. First, a healthy amount of sleep is vital for brain plasticity, or the brain's ability to adapt to input. If we sleep too little, we become unable to process what we've learned during the day, and we even have more trouble remembering it in the future. Researchers also believe that sleep may promote the removal of waste products from brain cells, something that seems to occur less efficiently when the brain is awake. So we've been around as human beings 6,000 years, and as far as we know, there hasn't been anybody that's come up with any kind of new findings about why we sleep and what we do. Something we all do and something we spend our entire lives doing a lot of, some more than others, but it's not something we talk about very much. There are also important connections between the concept, science, and phenomenon of sleep and our spiritual condition. Now, a spiritually healthy aspect of sleep is that you're far less likely to sin when you're sleeping. But the downside is you're not growing. You're not learning. You're not developing. You're not able to and ready to defend the faith and ready to answer the call of Christ's return. Consider this. God is eternally awake. Now that makes me nauseous. That gives me panic attacks to think about the fact that I could never, ever, ever be able to go to sleep again because I love it. It is really one of my favorite pastimes. And to think about a spirit being God who never has to sleep, never wants to sleep, maybe he never experienced sleep, yet created it, is just mind-boggling. He's eternally alert. I mean, that makes me tired just thinking of it. Think about that statement for a second. The CDC recommends that adults sleep for 7 or more hours per night. I'll tell you right now, if I don't get 8, 8.5, sometime 9 hours, I am in trouble the next day. My family that loves me so much, knows how much I like going to bed. And I don't care what's going on, and if you've been at my house, and there's been a lot of people there, you know, where's Mike? He's gone to bed. Sorry, Sam, the rest is yours. Clean up and saying goodnight to everybody, because once it gets past that time, I'm done. Well, a couple of weekends ago, for some reason, I was up later than normal, till 9 o'clock on a Saturday night, I think it was. And I was getting really tired. I had been a long week, a lot on my mind, a lot of pressure, and I was ready. And I said, okay, guys, good night. And Aaron said, no, Dad, we want to watch this movie, and we got this movie, I want to watch this with you, and you promised me you watch the movie. Okay, we'll watch the movie. Well, it took about an hour between that to get the movie started. And we watched the movie Air, about Michael Jordan's comeuppance in the NBA. And it was a great movie. And while I was watching it, I really wasn't tired. I was awake and I was paying attention. And I watched the whole movie. And the movie ended at 11:41. And I said to myself, I know I'm going to be in trouble tomorrow. Sure enough, I went to bed. I tossed and turned all night, had an absolutely miserable day the next day, which happened to be Mother's Day. The CDC recommends 7 or more hours per night. For parents of newborns, Brendan, are you listening? Infants and toddlers, 7 uninterrupted hours of sleep is only a dream now. My son and his wife are certainly ready to go down that little rosy path in the next couple of weeks. But grandma and grandpa and auntie will be there to help spell them so they can. But the God who keeps you does not get sleepy or tired or take cat naps or darn his night clothes for an 8-hour sleep. He doesn't need the recommended 7 to 9 hours of rest a night or 7 to 9 hours of rest a year or 7 to 9 hours of rest a millennia. He needs none of it. He's available every minute of every day for the entirety of our lives and into eternity to help us. The prophet Isaiah says, those who wait on the Lord will find renewed strength. Isaiah 40:31. God alone renews our strength to parent another day. Our earthly mortal supply of strength is not an eternal reservoir like God's. We need rest for the body and for the mind. He does not faint or grow weary. Isaiah 40:38. And if we go to the Lord asking for rest, he has promised that very thing, for he gives to us beloved sleep, as he says in Psalm 127 in verse 2. Let's turn to Psalm 121, and just put an exclamation point on this piece. Psalm 121, beginning in verse 3 in the NIV. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. So God has obviously created sleep for a purpose for mankind, the physical sleep that we need. And there are tons of analogies and metaphors and things that we can take out of that. But today I want to go down a road and ask about our spiritual sleep, and determine whether or not we are spiritually sleeping and where we are in that spiritual sleep if we are. A topic of this note would not be without turning to Matthew 25 and talk about the parable of the 10 virgins. So let's turn to Matthew 25. Matthew 25. And beginning in verse 1. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. Last weekend, Last Sunday, my sister-in-law and Teresa were invited to a very posh wedding in Boca Raton. And this wedding was for a former employee of ours who was getting married, and we're good friends with Kathy and Teresa, and they invited them to the wedding. And Kathy was bemoaning the fact that this wedding, all the way in Boca, which was like 9 hours from where they live in Okeechobee, that wedding was starting at 6 o'clock. Now, Kathy is like me. Kathy goes to bed about 8 o'clock, 8:15, 8:30, and is up at 4. And Kathy, like me, cannot stand being tired. Just that sickening feeling of being overtired and not being able to crawl in bed and do what it is that both of us share a passion for, and that is sleep. And Kathy and Teresa stopped by our house, and Kathy was just like all concerned about what the wedding's going to start at 6, and you know they may start eating around 7:30, and we're going to have to leave at 8 o'clock because I got to get home, you know, before 11:30 or 12 to be in bed, which is already too late. Well, what happened was they went to the wedding. The wedding started at 6, and I guess they hadn't even sat down for the meal, and it was 8 o'clock or 8:30 by the time they left. And Kathy and Teresa left the wedding without eating because Kathy had to get home and get to bed. But I know what that's like. In verse 6, at midnight, the cry rang out. Now, who's having a wedding? Kathy, you could have been going to this wedding at 12 o'clock at night. 6 o'clock is a joy. This is happening at midnight. Who's not sleeping at midnight? All right, Bob, I know you're out looking at cars at midnight. I get that. But, I mean, who's not sleeping at midnight? I mean, I've been in bed 4 hours already. I've been asleep 3 hours and 59 minutes already at midnight. And yet we're having a wedding that we're supposed to be prepared for. Here's the bridegroom. Come out and meet him. Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish one said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil. Our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." In verse 10, "But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut." Now, interestingly, carrying along that story on Kathy and Teresa, in the wedding invitation, it said that if you were not seated by 6 o'clock at the wedding venue, the doors would be locked. So this is kind of like the wedding supper that we're talking about, right? The doors were locked. It didn't start till late. And here we go. And in verse 11, later the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly I tell you, I do not know you." Will we ever be in a position, because of our need or desire or lack of discipline or whatever, to sleep, that we will be in a position where God Almighty and Jesus Christ will say, "I didn't know you"? Sleep is certainly something that we must do, that we have to do for our physical lives. But on a spiritual plane, there's really a whole nother level to consider. In verse 12, "But he replied, 'Truly I tell you, I do not know you. Therefore keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour.'" If we are spiritually sleeping, then we are in danger. So are you spiritually asleep? You know, if you're in one of those REM moments where you're deeply asleep, you might not even know that you're sleeping, and you don't. So if we're spiritually asleep and we recognize it, what should we do? Let's turn to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And this is in the NIV. And this whole portion of scripture is predominantly talking about the resurrection. But I want to take this in a little different direction this afternoon and use this scripture to support my position for the rest of my message. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 34 in the NIV. It says, "Awake to righteousness." Awake to righteousness. We have a promise and an admonition that when we wake up in the resurrection, we will awake to righteousness. That's a promise. But also, we need to be awake now. And we need to be pursuing now the righteousness every waking hour of every day of our lives. Do you ever get into a situation where you don't even realize you're sinning? That you don't even remember that you did, and something prompts something? You know, those are humbling times, or at least they should be humbling times. Are we sleeping? Other verses say, come back to your senses. Another translation says, be awake to righteousness and keep yourselves from sin. Another one says, come back to your right mind and sin no more. Sometimes life can be so full, so confusing, so complicated that it really puts us to sleep. The life that we have, the world that we live in, things coming at us from 90 million different directions. You know, there's not too many people I talk to today, not only in our faith, but general walk of life, that don't realize the stresses of this world. I was talking to JJ before church, talking about a friend of hers that, you know, that talks, and she's not in our faith, I don't believe she's even a religious person, that she has this heaviness about her. You know, that heaviness certainly is brought on by the stresses that people have. We live in a very turbulent time. And I'm not going to talk about prophecy. I'll leave that for the big boys like Mr. Jackson. But I just can't fathom how this thing doesn't continue to spin out of control more quickly. And that's going to do one or two things. That's either going to put you to sleep, because let me tell you something. When you're stressed, if you can get to sleep, that's big. And it helps. It really helps. But that's going to cause one of two things. It's either going to, you know, stress you out so much that it puts you to sleep, or it's going to stress you out so much that you, what? Awake to righteousness. What is in one's right mind? What is coming back to your senses? As the NIV says, it's coming back to the truth and reality that will become the righteousness of God in Christ, which, interestingly enough, was a scripture that Mr. Jackson just mentioned that was mentioned in McKinney last week. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. So I'm suggesting this afternoon, and I'm saying this afternoon, that we need to wake up. We can't let the challenges in life, the heaviness of life, ourselves, our own sinful carnal nature, the mistakes that we make just as human beings, put us to sleep. But we need to awake, and we need to awake to righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21 in the New King James. For he made him who knew no sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Romans 12:2 says, we are transformed by the renewing of our minds. This can only happen while we are awake. Romans 6:12 says, sin is always present with us in our flesh, in our sinful nature, or our outward man. They all mean the same thing. It's always there. It's whether or not it's able to reign or not, that's the real issue. And the only way is not giving in to reign, is through the power of righteousness. Again, this can only happen while we are awake. Romans 4, when we believe God's word to us as the righteousness which is of faith begins to work in us, we will not consider our own bodies, our own flesh, no matter what. This can only happen while we are awake. So the message to us today is awake to righteousness. No matter how much you like to sleep, Kathy, no matter how much I need to sleep or like to sleep, no matter how much you sleep or you don't sleep, we all must take the cry to awake to righteousness. So the message today is awake to righteousness. Come to the knowledge of your future righteousness. Again, this can only happen while we are awake. So it's not really not about sleeping, but it's about being awake, alert, defensive, proactive. God would not want us to concentrate on a characteristic that does not apply to him and won't apply to us in the future. As discussed earlier from this article on sleep, the first part of the cycle is the non-REM sleep, which is composed of four stages. Let's consider these five aspects of sleep and what it means to our spiritual lives or conditions today. So a little bit of gut check. Holy days are always a good time to do it. We have the Holy Spirit coming tomorrow. Thankfully, it's already here, but the memorial of that Holy Spirit coming tomorrow, it's always a good time to take some inventory and check where we are. Because if you're sleeping right now, you need to wake up. And believe me, when guys like us get up here and speak like this, the non-elder ones, normally we're speaking about things that are affecting us personally, right? These are things that are gnawing at us every day, every week, every month. We give messages, and again, the full-time ministry, they have a whole other level of responsibility of teaching and structure and things they need to impart. Us guys, we're talking about things that are affecting us directly each and every day. And believe me, this one is certainly affecting me. So which of these best define your spiritual condition today? Number one, the first stage of sleep comes between being awake and falling asleep. Aware, but not sharp. You're in bed. You've started the process. The pillows are where they're supposed to be. The attire is what it's supposed to be. The room temperature is perfect. The pillows and the sheets and everything, the comforters are where they're supposed to be. You're able to go to sleep before your wife so you can really get to sleep and sleep before she comes in or he comes in. Everything is there. And you've put your head down and you're just starting to get into that frame. But it's in between being awake and being asleep. Would you consider your spiritual condition right now to be number one? Not quite sharp, not quite asleep, but certainly heading there. And certainly having the mindset of wanting and needing to go to sleep, which is the total opposite of being sharp and aggressive and defensive and proactive, which is where we need to be. That's where we need to be every minute of every day of our lives. Now, it's impossible physically. I get that. But I'm talking about spiritually. Where are you now in your spiritual life? Number two, the second is a light sleep. So you're out. You're sleeping. The least little thing can wake you up. Is that what happens? Is your spiritual condition like that right now? Well, you're asleep. You're sleeping. You're ignoring stuff that you should not be ignoring. Prayer, study, meditation, doing good works. Continue to evaluate who you are and what you're doing. But not being awake. Is that what describes your spiritual condition right now? Thirdly of all, the third stage is a deep sleep. Completely unaware of reality. Now we're starting to get into some pretty dangerous waters, depending how long this takes and how long it lasts. But does that describe some of our spiritual condition right now? Are we completely unaware of reality? Just going about life, thinking we're a good person. We come to church every week. We do our tithes and offerings. We go to the holy days. We don't eat pork. We do this. We do that. But you know what? You may be fast asleep and unaware really of who you are and what you're doing. Number four, the fourth stage is even a deeper sleep. It's even a deeper sleep. You're out. And maybe like, I want to say Periwinkle. No, it's Rip Van Winkle, right? He was the one that slept under the tree, right? He was asleep for 40 years. You know, maybe we've been asleep for 5 years. Maybe we've been asleep for 10 years. Maybe we've been asleep for 20 or 25 years. And maybe through different elements of this sleep, we're going through our lives pretty much not with it. Does that describe our spiritual nature? Or number five, the this REM that happens 3 to 4 cycles during the night, you're out. You may be dreaming, you may be whatever, but you are, it's a prolonged spiral of the inability to react to reality or sin. In our spiritual lives, this is all very, very dangerous. I'll let you make the assessment as to where you are and how awake you are or how asleep you are. I asked another question to GPT. Why does the Bible talk so much about awakening? Here's what it said. Number one, spiritual awareness. The Bible emphasizes the need for individuals to be spiritually awake and aware of their relationship with God. Can we ever be too awake to have a relationship with God? Can we ever be awake too long to have a relationship with God? It calls for people to awaken from spiritual slumber or ignorance and become conscious of their need for salvation and a deeper connection with God Almighty. Number two, why does the Bible talk so much about awakening? Repentance and transformation. Awakening is often associated with repentance, which involves acknowledging and turning away from sinful behavior. If you're sleeping, you have no knowledge of sinning or your carnality. If you're awake, you certainly do. The Bible encourages people to awakening for their wrongdoing, seek forgiveness, and embrace a transformed life guided by righteousness and obedience to God's commands. Number three, vigilance and watchfulness. The concept of awakening is also linked to the idea of vigilance and watchfulness. The Bible teaches that believers should be alert and watchful both spiritually and morally, recognizing the signs of the times and being prepared for the return of Christ or any challenges to their faith. How are we doing? Number four, enlightenment and knowledge. Awakening can refer to gaining spiritual insight and understanding. It involves seeking wisdom and knowledge through the study of Scripture, prayer, and a personal relationship with God. The Bible encourages believers to awaken to the truths revealed in God's Word and to grow in spiritual maturity. Spiritual awareness, repentance and transformation, vigilance and watchfulness, enlightenment and knowledge, all of these concepts happen while you're awake. All of these concepts happen while you're awake. Number five, and lastly, a new life in Christ. Awakening is often associated with experiencing a new life in Christ. The Bible teaches that when individuals place their faith in Jesus and accept Him as their Lord and Savior, they're spiritually awakened and become new creations. And we certainly know that and recognize that by repentance, baptism, and the laying on of hands. They're called to live in the light of this awakening, embracing a life characterized by love, righteousness, and service to others. There are over 100 Bible verses that urge man to awake. But why? Because sleeping is dangerous. It's dangerous, and it's insidious, and it's cunning, and it's crafty. And it's dangerous to our spiritual growth, our safety, and our life. Consider some of these scriptures. Judges 5 and verse 12. Don't turn there. I'm going to go through them pretty quickly. Judges 5 and verse 12. But notice the strength and the urgency of what is being said. Awake, awake, Deborah. Again, awake, awake, sing a song. And again, arise, Barak, and take away your captives, O son of Abinoam. All of these scriptures are urgent messages and considerations that are striving to wake us up. Isaiah 52 and verse 1. Awake, awake, clothe yourself in strength, O Zion. Clothe yourself in beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city. For the uncircumcised and the unclean will no longer come to you. Isaiah 51 and verse 17, rouse yourself, arise. Not just once, not just twice, but three times is God trying to get our attentions. Awake to righteousness. Ephesians 5, verse 14. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Revelation 3 and verse 2, wake up and strengthen the things that remain, which were about to die, for I have not found your deeds completed in the sight of my God. Isaiah 26, 19, your dead will live, their corpses will rise, you who lie in the dust, awake and shout for joy. For your dew is as the dew of the dawn, and the earth will give birth to the departed spirits. Romans 13, 11. Do this knowing the time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from your sleep. By knowing this time, that it is already the hour for you to awaken from your sleep. We can look at those as, you know, pages, words on a page written thousands of years ago to people we don't know. Or we can take that as an admonition and a wake-up call to awaken from our sleep. For now salvation is nearer to us than when we believed. Psalm 57 and verse 8. Awake, my glory. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. Psalm 108 and verse 2. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. Proverbs 23, 35. They struck me, but I did not become ill. They beat me, but I did not know it. When shall I awake and see another drink? Proverbs 6 and verse 9. How long will you lie down, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep? Now, thankfully, Sam doesn't come in and wake me up like that in the morning because I get up before her. But sometimes I'll go in the bedroom. She's still sleeping at 9:30, and I'll say to her, awake, you sluggard. When are you going to awake the dawn? But, I mean, how many times do we have to be prompted? How many different ways do we have to be told to wake up and to wake up to righteousness? I dare say, I think we all know, we're all running out of time. Either personally because of our age or because of the society and the world that we live in. Or some freak accident that happens to you on your way home and your life is gone. How much oil do we have in our lamps? How much time have we spent sleeping as opposed to awakening to righteousness? Joel 1 and verse 5, awake, drunkards, and weep, and wail, all you wine drinkers, on account of the sweet wine that is cut off from your mouth. Habakkuk 2, 19, woe to him who says to a piece of wood, awake, to a mute stone, arise. That's held for us, for human beings. And that is your teacher. Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver. There is no breath at all inside of it. You know, it's fairly evident that God and Jesus Christ recognize that man does slumber and sleeps. And that sleep can oftentimes bring about disastrous results and consequences on the spiritual plane. My message to you today is we need to wake up. We need to stay vigilant. We need to awake to righteousness and never sleep, never slumber through our entire journey throughout our conversion process. In conclusion, let's turn to Proverbs 20 and verse 13. Proverbs 20 and verse 13. It says to me and Kathy, love not sleep. Love not sleep, lest you come to poverty. Open your eyes, and you will have plenty of bread. It's never too late to awake to righteousness.